Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. How are you today? I hope you are fine. With me, Rivai, and I'll accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we would like to present some programs started with news, commentary, and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. Stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. President says infrastructure projects should be linked to tourist areas. House plans to set up special committee on capital city regulation. House plans to set up special committee on capital city relocation. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dolot Pani. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said that linking infrastructure projects with tourist areas, small-scale industrial centers, production centers, and agricultural and plantation areas will ensure regions progress faster. Infrastructure projects such as toll roads, seaports, and airports must be completed soon. Joko said on Thursday while speaking before governors, mayors, and other government officials during the opening of the 2019 National Development Planning Congress. The president said, Indonesia can become the fifth or fourth largest economy in the world by 2045, but it would not be easy to achieve. He said a strong state economy must be supported by a strong regional economy. Meanwhile, Tourism Minister Arief Yahya, who attended the opening ceremony of the Congress, said the tourism industry needs support from other sectors to grow. President Joko Widodo called a number of working cabinet ministers on Thursday afternoon to the Presidential Palace, Jakarta. The meeting discussed the government's preparations ahead of the Eid al-Fitr holiday in 2019. Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi, after addressing the president, said that President Joko Widodo had asked his staff to be able to pay attention to the level of safety of the people who return to their hometown. President also requested them to pay attention to the steps and efforts that could be taken to improve the economy of micro, small, and medium enterprises.
Bahas mudik lebaran.
We discussed homecoming during Eid al-Fitr. Homecoming must be better, must ensure safety, must pay attention to micro, small, and medium enterprises. That's the most important thing. In the limited meeting discussing preparations for the Eid al-Fitr, President Joko Widodo touched on the issue of the connection of the Trans-Java toll road from Merak to Probolinggo. According to him, the flow of travelers in 2019 will be more smooth with the connection of the toll road infrastructure. Jokowi also stressed the importance of maintaining the stability of prices and availability of basic commodities during the holiday and the flow of homecoming and the availability of fuel stocks along the homecoming road. The House of Representatives, DPR, has planned to set up a special committee to conduct a comprehensive study on the law on the capital city in response to the government's steadfast commitment to going ahead with its plan to move Indonesia's capital city. Chairman of the House of Commission 2, overseeing Home Affairs, Janudin Amali told journalists on Thursday, in response to the government's plan to relocate the capital city outside Java. The House would thoroughly study the law on the capital city by considering Law No. 29/2007 on Jakarta as a special capital city administration, he said. However, all technical matters related to the comprehensive study on the relocation of the country's capital city, including the chosen location and budget, would be handed over to the government, Janudin Amali stressed. He said if the central government has planned to relocate the country's capital city, it should have thoroughly calculated all necessary consequences, including those related to the multi-year budget. President Joko Widodo received the steering board of the Pancasila Ideology Development Agency, BPIP, on Thursday afternoon at Merdeka Palace, Jakarta. On the occasion, member of the BPIP steering board, Muhammad Mahfud MD, said that the Indonesian government would soon be able to evaluate the election organizer law. According to him, this evaluation step is expected to be carried out in the first year of the next government so that in the fourth year, the Indonesian nation has more perfect regulations regarding election organizers. The government that will come, whoever is elected, is expected to immediately improve the election law. That was the first year of entering the national legislation program, so that the preparations were not as sudden as they are now until there were casualties and so on. That must be anticipated from now, including the presidential threshold, including the election system. That will be discussed again in the first year, so that the second year is complete. If there is a judicial review, it can be in the third year, so that the fourth year has finished all the entire legal rules. That what is expected. Meanwhile, the fifth president of the Republic of Indonesia, Megawati Sukarnoputri, who is the chair of the BPIP steering board, said that during the meeting, BPIP would submit a report on the work of the institutions that had been running routinely. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Association of Indonesian Muslim Intellectuals, ICMI, has called on the government and all elements of society to find the best ways to help the various camps and community members who feel defeated during the recent presidential elections to overcome disappointment. ICMI Chairman Jimli Asidik said at the breaking of the fast event on Thursday, "It took a long time to overcome disappointment, and this was the government's duty." He said statements from the political elite that attack one another may have resulted in a divided society in Indonesia. He then cited his experience of leading the Constitutional Court when Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono won the 2004 presidential elections. At the time, Yudhoyono had stated that he would set up his cabinet prior to the General Elections Commission's official announcement. As a result, the Constitutional Court held a press conference to warn people that Yudhoyono's statement was not appropriate. Gajah Mada University, UGM, has been preparing a comprehensive study on the reasons for the deaths of several hundred members of polling station working committees across Indonesia, a researcher of the public university revealed on Thursday. This interdisciplinary research project would comprehensively reveal the factors that led to the deaths and sickness of the polling station working committee members, said Abdul Ghaffar, coordinator of the Gajah Mada University's Working Research Group on General Elections. The research project, involving scientists from medical school as well as faculties of public health, psychology, and social and political sciences, would be conducted for several weeks. Dean of the UGM's Faculty of Social and Political Sciences, Erwan Agus Purwanto, said his university's team members would collaborate with their colleagues from 10 other universities. As of May 7, 2019, the General Elections Commission said the death toll of the working committee members at the polling stations had reached at least 456, while 4,310 others fell ill while fulfilling their electoral duties. Chairman of the Press Council, Yosep Adi Prasetyo, has reminded the mainstream media to not use social media as a reference because it might lead to the public believing in hoaxes and distrusting credible official institutions. He said public will believe incorrect information from social media if the media reports it. As a consequence, it took more than 2.5 months for the government to clarify the news. In the post-election period, the media must be careful and not refer to social media because it could hurt the state order and put the nation and the country at a disadvantage, the press council chairman said. He asked the media to be careful because at present, the mainstream media is the only reference that can save the nation and the country. Well, listener, that's the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's commentary is on Save the JCPOA Agreement. After the United States unilaterally abandoned the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or JCPOA nuclear agreement last year, Iran was upset because it felt increasingly depressed over its nuclear issue. In fact, Iran wants to implement the agreement in the hope that sanctions against the country will be alleviated. In the past few days, Iran has threatened to revive its nuclear program after the presence of U.S. military equipment in the Gulf region. The United States argued that it was sending aircraft carriers and bomber aircraft due to a kind of indication and warning from Iran. The U.S. is also determined to show a reaction in full force against any form of attack. However, the European Union seeks to reduce Iran's resentment. This group of European countries still considers the agreements a solution to the problem of Iran's nuclear development. The European Union also rejected Tehran's threat. European leaders suggested that Iran continue its commitments according to the agreement and refrain from increasing tension with the United States. The European Union is disappointed with sanctions imposed by the United States and continues to trade with Iran. A year ago, President Donald Trump ignored the JCPOA agreement and imposed sanctions on Iran. The United States asked all countries not to buy oil from Iran. The next sanction is a ban on iron, steel, aluminum, and copper. The sanction has upset Tehran. Although the U.S. imposed sanctions, the European Union is still opening trade relations with Iran. Iranian strong reaction is natural because the country is still carrying out its commitment in the agreement. The European Union also still believes in Iran in implementing the JCPOA. If Europe still believes in the agreement, the United States should also open opportunities to return to the agreement and not pressure Iran on its nuclear issues. The U.S. is ambiguous in this matter. On the one hand, the United States put pressure on Iran. On the other hand, secretly allowing Israel, its main partner in the Middle East, to develop its nuclear program. Well, that was commentary today on Save the JCPOA Agreement. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih from Indonesia to the World.
Welcome to Today in History. We start from an event about German forces attacked France, Belgium, and the Netherlands on May 10, 1940. Unexpectedly, Germany invaded France, Belgium, and the Netherlands. The Netherlands and Belgium overwhelmed on blitzkrieg tactics, which was launched suddenly from various elements. The German armed forces used a combination and coordination of air, sea, and land forces. The sudden, rapid, and unexpected attacks caused panic on the French, Belgian, and the Dutch defenses. The concept of the blitzkrieg strategy, in general, is still applied until nowadays by the military in the international war. Now we turn to an event about Nelson Mandela, was appointed as the first black president of South Africa on May 10, 1994. Nelson Mandela was elected as president of South Africa from May 10, 1994 to June 14, 1999. Mandela became the first black president with Willem de Klerk as vice president. Mandela is also considered a figure of anti-discrimination for black people or apartheid. Although he had been imprisoned for 27 years by the apartheid government, in his first speech as president, Mandela actually called for peace. The Mandela government focused on an effort to eliminate apartheid by combating racism, poverty, and inequality and reconciliation. We end with an event of World Lupus Day, which is commemorated every May 10. World Lupus Day, celebrated every May 10, was firstly announced on May 10, 2004, when the International Council brought together international organizations focused on lupus from 13 different countries in Eton, England, to hold the first anniversary of World Lupus Day. The announcement is to remind governments around the world to increase their financial support for research on lupus, build awareness and medication for sufferers. That was today's segment of Today in History.
Voice of Indonesia.
Ketika kau tak sanggup melangkah, hilang arah dalam kesendirian. Tiada mentari bagai malam yang kelam. Tiada tempat untuk berlabuh, bertahan terus berharap. Allah selalu di sisimu, insya Allah, insya Allah, insya Allah, ada jalan, insya Allah, insya Allah, insya Allah, ada jalan.
Every time one more mistake, you feel you can't repent and that it's way too late. You're so confused, wrong decisions you have made haunt your mind and your heart is full of shame. But don't despair and never lose hope, 'cause Allah is always by your side. Trust in Him, raise your hands and pray.
Ooh ya Allah, tuntun langkahku di jalan-Mu, hanya Engkaulah pelitaku. Tuntun aku di jalan-Mu selamanya. Insya
of Indonesia.
Well, listener, that was sung And you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 33.25 kHz and website www.voinews.id. In Indonesia Today's edition, I'd like to give you information about Indonesia and of course in my Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia entitled Indonesia and Argentina Increase Trade Cooperation. Indonesian Vice President Muhammad Yusuf Kalla received official visit of Argentinian Vice President Gabriela Michetti at Vice Presidential Palace Jakarta on May 7, 2019. This is the first visit of Argentinian Vice President to Indonesia since the opening of diplomatic relationship on June 30, 1956. During the meeting, Vice President of the two countries agreed to increase cooperation in trade, investment, and agricultural fields. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that Argentina is the second biggest investor of Indonesia in South American region. Yusuf Kalla explained that in 2018, the total trade between the two countries reached $1.68 billion, with a deficit reaching $1.2 billion for Indonesia. He encouraged Indonesia can achieve more balance and mutual beneficial trade. To achieve this, Indonesia offers its strategic industrial products, namely PT Dirgantara Indonesia's produced aircraft. In addition, Yusuf Kalla also asked Argentina to lowering tariff and non-tariff of trade in order to stabilizing the trade balance. Yusuf Kalla requested competitive market access for Indonesian fruit on the Argentinian market. To improve trade relations, Yusuf Kalla invited businessmen of Argentina to attend the Indonesian Latin American and the Caribbean Business Forum and Trade Expo Indonesia activities. In agriculture, Indonesia and Argentina have established a working group on agricultural cooperation, which has produced a collaborative action plan. In this field, Indonesia wants to develop cooperation related to the development of agricultural technology systems. This was welcomed by Argentinian Vice President Gabriela Michetti, who acknowledged the enormous potential of cooperation in the field of trade and investment and wished to translate this potential into a form of strategic cooperation. Michetti specifically wants to encourage technical cooperation within the framework of South-South cooperation. She believes the technical cooperation between the two countries is a means to greater cooperation. Vice President Michetti also expressed her desire to cooperate with Indonesia in the halal food industry sector. That was My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Saat ku tidak kapu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, boy listener, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz, at website www.voinews.id. Well, listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, it's nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, and for today's edition, I introduce you about Senerak Soup. Magelang is one of cities in Central Java Province, which has charming, wonderful, and beautiful nature. Unsurprisingly, the city becomes one of the favorite tourism destinations in Central Java. As one of the most favorite tourism destinations in Central Java, Magelang has a lot of amazing tourism objects, such as cultural and historic sites, contemporary photo spots, hills, parks, and waterfalls that may really spoil the tourist's eyes. The tourists who visit will also be served with a variety of delicious culinary of Magelang. One of them is Senerak Soup. Listener, Senerak Soup is one of the menus from the Dutch colonial era in Indonesia. Senerak is taken from the word snare, which means peace in Dutch. Because the tongues of the Magelang people were not very fluent in pronouncing snert, the term slowly changes to be senerak. Apparently, the snert soup was then modified with ingredients to be easily obtained by the local people, namely red beans. This soup is with complete vegetables such as carrots and spinach, and it is added with chives by using herbs, spices, such as cloves and nutmeg. Then, all of these are doused with fresh broth filled with beef or tripe. Listener, if we enjoy the soup, the aroma of garlic is so strong. The sauce tastes fresh, savory with a broth that tastes delicious. The Senerak soup is usually served with warm rice and chili sauce, as well as a variety of complementary food that can be selected based on our taste, such as snail satay, tofu, and tempeh. In Magelang, you can easily find this soup. The price is relatively cheap, about 15,000 to 20,000 rupiah per portion. Listener, that's Indonesian Wonder for today's edition entitled Senerak Soup. We will meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Bye for now.
Satu terkasih, kulihat di sinar matamu tersimpan kekayaan batinmu. Oh, di dalam senyummu ku dengar bahasa kalbu mengalun bening menggetarkan. Kini dirimu yang senang
anakku kan mengiringi bersama.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you very much, Voice listener. We have listened a wonderful song, and you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voanews.id. A listener would like to give you another information about interesting tourism that happened in Indonesia.
Hello listeners, Voice of Indonesia. It is nice to meet you again in Miscellany. Today, Citizen is about to explore the topic. UI delegation won first place in business competition in South Korea. Stay tuned with us on www.voinews.id. The UI delegation successfully won first place in a business competition in South Korea. The team consisted of 6 students of Engineering Faculty of University of Indonesia. They were chosen as champions thanks to innovation in plastic waste treatment. Through innovative ideas in the form of processing plastic waste into raw material for three-dimensional printer filament yarn, the University of Indonesia delegation successfully won the title. They took home the Platinum Prize title of first place and a prize worth $2,000. The competition entitled the Asian Student Venture Forum, which was held in Seoul and Daejeon, South Korea in early April. The six students were Pandey Bagus Widyantara, Muhammad Rashad, Idrus Fahreza, Rizka Amira, Naufal Arif, and Abiyah. The concept offered by them is full of technology, but it also puts forward interesting and financially promising business ideas. One of the team representatives, Pandey Bagus, said that as a UI engineering student, he would like to put forward the findings of applied-based engineering that could provide benefits to the community. He is proud to be able to represent UI in the prestigious event in Asia and meet students from some countries to introduce Indonesian culture and the quality of the youth. The Asian Students Venture Forum is an annual competition event held by Korea Economic Daily, and this year it was sponsored by KTNG. This business startup competition was attended by various countries in Asia, such as China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, Indonesia, Japan, Malaysia, Mongolia, the Philippines, Singapore, Uzbekistan, and Vietnam. The biggest international business plan competition in South Korea has been held since 2002. Besides representing new ideas and interesting innovations, all participants of the competition also took part in various cultural activities, social discussion, and discussion related to other global economic issues. That was Miss Lenny for today, featuring UI delegation won first place in business competition in South Korea. We will meet again with other interesting topics. See you next time. Sempat terpikir tuk kembali, walau beda.
Voice of Indonesia.
Wonderful song. And you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kilohertz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about the music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in Music Corner. Today, we are about to present you a religious song. There are many preaching media which have been used by preachers to spread out Islamic teachings. One of the effective media to use is through art. Preaching through art has been used by preachers in spreading Islam. Tombo Ati is one of songs which was composed by Sunan Bonang. The song explains how the steps are in treating heart, first by reading Al-Quran and understanding its meaning, because in Al-Quran there is an explanation which is very detailed on various kinds of problems of life. Secondly, praying at night, which is hard to be conducted except people who are really religious. Because it is too hard to worship at night, it will raise spirit for somebody to face problems of life. Thirdly, gathering with religious people can directly bring someone into commendable behavior that benefits his or her life. Fourthly, fasting means to self-train to be patient to face problems in life. And the last one is by doing zikir anytime. This makes someone to always remember and also praise the name of Allah. Muslims always remember and praise the name of Allah. So, Allah will also remember anybody who remembers him. Well, listeners, here is Tombo Ati.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you very much for your attention. We'll give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voanews.id. And listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, or our Instagram account, voice_of_Indonesia. And you can visit our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia or to our email voi@voinews.id.